We're talking about Proposition 1, which is on the ballot this coming November. Early voting is going to be starting in a matter of days, and a lot of New Yorkers are going to the polls, and the truth is they don't really know what Prop 1 is. And so I've been traveling the state. I was just in New York City. I was in Manhattan in front of City Hall 2 days ago with Senator Borello and folks from the Chinese New York Chinese American Alliance talking about Prop 1 and really trying to educate people on what this is. So to be real brief before I introduce Olivia, the political reason for Prop 1 is a vote turnout mechanism by Democrats around the idea that this is enshrining abortion protection in the Constitution. That's ridiculous. Abortion access in New York, I'm a lifelong pro-life, I have a pro-life voting record. I'm a pro-life individual. Regardless of that, the reality is access to abortion in New York is not in any kind of danger. There are some of the most expansive abortion protection in law in New York anywhere in the country. Abortion was legalized in 1970 here in New York State, 3 years prior to Roe. Since that time, in 50 years, access to abortion in New York has moved in one direction, and that's greater. And reasonable people can disagree on how much access and what's good and what's bad, but the idea, anyone saying that this is about protecting abortion is fear-mongering and demagoguing, period. This has nothing to do. If this goes down in flames, and this is voted down, as I hope it will be, abortion protections the next day will be absolutely the same as they are today. What this does do, that's the political reason, get people worried that somehow if we don't pass this, abortion protection is going to be taken away. And of course, it's a vote turnout for Democrats in a presidential election year. Here's the reality, the policy of it. The policy is this is going to absolutely undermine Title IX. It's going to allow men in women's spaces, locker rooms, dressing rooms, sports teams. That is what this will do. The legal language, in fact, it was just a political fact that actually verified the language absolutely will allow transgender athletes, i.e. males, to compete as part of female sports teams. Males to go into female locker rooms. Males to go into female dressing rooms and spaces. So if you really care about protecting women, the answer is simple. You have to vote no. It will also strip parental rights. It would come between, the legal language will allow people to come between parents and children. You're going to hear from Dennis, who has a very firsthand experience about what that could look like. The difference is, once it's passed, if it was passed, it'll have the legal protection in the state constitution. So it'll be legally sanctioned. There'll be no debate. That's what we're here to talk about. To me, I said the other day, anything that comes between parents raising their kids and parental involvement in their children's lives, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 10-year-olds, that's evil. That is an evil move. I reject that completely. That is the last place government should be. And make no mistake, the language of this proposition will allow for exactly that. Exactly that. And we've already seen this happen at the federal level and in other states by Democrats, either through propositions like this or through laws that are passed in the state house, or again through executive order in the case of the Biden administration when it comes to Title IX and female athletics. So we're here to tell people, turn your ballot over, vote no on Prop 1. This is, if you want to protect women, vote no on Prop 1. If you want to protect parental rights, vote no on Prop 1. If you don't think the government should be coming between a parent and their child, if you don't think that your daughter's volleyball team or softball team or soccer team should be composed of women born as women at birth, if you believe that, you have to vote no. And if you care about, if you're a pro-choice man or woman out there, voting no on this will protect your daughter, and it will not change one iota the abortion access in the state of New York. And again, I say that as a proud pro-lifer, but the reality is the reality. And this is not about abortion. This is about something far more insidious. Far more insidious. And New Yorkers have to know that. We're trying to get around to let people know, vote no on Prop 1. And with that, I want to call up somebody who I think, again, the next two speakers will speak firsthand to those two points. There's other points we can talk about, potentially the non-citizens voting, which is a possibility. I'm not a lawyer. I'll let some other people maybe talk about that who have more legal context and background, but that is certainly a possibility. But the next speaker, Olivia Bell, she is a female athlete, and I think it's important to hear not just from Rob Ort or George Borrello or Dave DiPietro, but to hear from a female athlete about what this would mean or could mean for her and maybe even what she's experienced. So this time I want to call Olivia Bell to say a few words. Olivia?
First off, I'd like to express how honored I am to be here today with you all. I'm especially grateful for Senator Ort, Senator George Borrello, and their respective teams of staff, and everybody that has been involved in this event for giving me this amazing opportunity to speak on this important issue of the Prop 1 Amendment. Proposition 1, also known as the Equal Rights Amendment, will ultimately end equality in New York State. This proposition will allow biological men to participate in women's sports. As an athlete, this part of the bill is wildly unfair and absolutely absurd. It's a biological fact that men are stronger than women in almost all sports, and that's what will give men the ultimate advantage. The whole point of this bill is a claim that everyone will have fair opportunities no matter what they identify as. But what the bill will allow isn't fair, and it will get rid of equal opportunities. I've worked hard for years to get to the point where I'm at now in my sport, and this amendment being passed will make that all irrelevant. It's incredibly disappointing that this insane ideology is even being considered for the New York State Constitution. At the end of the day, this bill will make women's sports obsolete just to appease the woke ideology being pushed in this new world that we live in. This bill will also allow biological men to share bathrooms and locker rooms with biological women. At this point, it is clear that in this Prop 1 bill is not only putting equality of everyone in danger, but also putting women's rights and safety at risk. The creators of this bill are giving a minority group of men that identify as transgender women, which is less than 0.6% of people in New York State, the advantage over biological women. Yes, every human deserves... deserves the rights stated in the U.S. Constitution. The difference between the rights in the U.S. Constitution and the rights started in the Prop 1 Amendment is that women are being put in danger just because of this demented ideology that has consumed our nation. Being an athlete, I do not want to give up my right to participate fairly in my sport just because a man identifying as a woman wants to compete against me and most likely win. If this bill is passed, scholarships and important opportunities for young women athletes all across New York State will be taken away by men. If I am forced to compete against a biological man, then my years of hard work as an athlete will mean nothing, and I will no longer have pride in my perseverance and persistence as an athlete. As a woman, I do not want to be forced to share bathrooms or locker rooms with a biological man because it endangers my safety, but also other women's safety as well. I think about my future a lot, my future competitions for my sport, what college I might transfer to in a few years, what my career might be, and even what my first house will look like. But I also think about my future family. I want to have kids one day, and the thought of one of my future daughters having to share a bathroom or a locker room or a sports team with a biological man is not only disturbing, but disgusting and unfathomable. If Prop 1 is passed, then this will happen sooner rather than later. People's daughters will be in more danger than ever. Many people look down on my generation just because we are young, but I believe that some of the older generations has failed us by trying to bring out these outrageous ideologies into the world and ultimately end equality as we know it to be. Proposition 1 is a bill that claims it will create more rights for everyone in New York State, but in reality, it will take rights away from women's athletes and women in general. If there is one point I can really express to you today, it is this. Do you want your wives, sisters, nieces, and daughters being forced to give up their rights because of men who claim to identify as women? Do you want women's sports to become obsolete and ultimately abolish women's athletes? Do you want equal rights for everyone or just for a group that wants to be victimized? Genesis 1:27 states, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The passing of this bill will ignore the differences between men and women. This bill ignores the beauty and the speciality of men and women being unique. This bill wants to make us all the same, but we aren't. We are all children of God, but we are all different. We all have different motivations, passions, and stories that make us who we are. But this Proposition 1 bill will turn a blind eye to everything we've gone through as people. If this bill is passed, we will all be seen as statistics and numbers, not the individuals that God created us to be. God bless our troops, God bless our country, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Get her name.
Yeah. You want it like written down for you? You want me to spell it for you now?
Yeah, I guess.
Olivia Bell. Olivia, correct me if I'm wrong. It's OliviaBell. And I thought she did a fantastic job. She did better than some of my colleagues. I won't name names. But Olivia, great job to you. You know, she said something there before I bring up Dennis that I thought about. In the language of this, if you read, there's part A, part B. It essentially, part B almost eviscerates part A. If you read the language, it's almost incongruous. We talked about this the other day. It allows essentially it gives legal veneer, a legal seal of approval to discrimination, to try and stop discrimination. I just think it's interesting because we always say this. There's like, you know, these cliches. You can't stop hate with hate. Well, this would try to stop discrimination with legally protected or sanctioned discrimination. In other words, there's some discrimination that the government is going to say that's okay because other discrimination is bad. Nothing could be more in contrast with who we say we are as New Yorkers and as Americans. And I think that is very important to point out that New Yorkers, you cannot say this discrimination is okay because this discrimination is not. That is not how we're going to move forward as a state, as a country, by propositions like this. You're just going to create a different subset of real victims. In this case, imagine a young girl who loses out on a scholarship for, let's say, a swimming team or a volleyball team because someone who was born that looks like me gets that scholarship instead. And I have all the testosterone and all those other biological differences that give me clearly a competitive advantage. There's a reason we created women's sports to begin with, to give women a chance to ascend to the highest levels of their respective sport without having to compete against men. Nobody would think that was normal if I said tomorrow we're going to have a co-ed football team. I mean, nobody would look at me like I was making any sense. And yet, something like this, you know, is. I think there's people who are afraid to be critical of it for fear of being called a bigot or fear of being called, you know, something monstrous that we come up with in society. No one is saying anything. Look, I'm not casting a dispersion on somebody. What I'm saying is somebody like Olivia Bell deserves the chance to compete against other people who were born like Olivia Bell. And she deserves to be in a locker room with somebody that she knows was born like Olivia Bell and not something else. And that is not crazy. And I don't think for a second that I'm in the minority of where New Yorkers are when it comes to that. And this proposition would endanger all of that. So, Olivia, thank you very much for what you said there. And now I want to bring up somebody again who I think comes at this from a very unique perspective as a parent, as a father. We talked about parental rights. No one knows that more, and no one is fighting harder than our next speaker, and that is Dennis Hannan.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here to speak about Prop 1. I am a committee chairman for the Coalition to Protect Kids. We are a nonpartisan group comprised of all different walks of life, but we're steadfast and united in defeating Prop 1. So above all else, I am a father to an amazing little 10-year-old boy. And when my son was approximately kindergarten age, I prevented the forced gender conversion of him, meaning his name was changed and he was socially transitioned in school without my consent. I found out about this from a letter in the mail addressed to the parent or guardian of, followed by a female name. I originally thought that they mailed the letter to the wrong address, but I opened it anyways, and I was shocked to be the last to know about a social transition of my child. It wasn't through court proceedings and Supreme Court subpoenas that I discovered he was seeing a gender therapist receiving gender-affirming care without a diagnosis of gender dysphoria. They also recommended puberty blockers at the age of 9. Without ever meeting or speaking to my child. So I did what any parent would do. I continued to fight. They say that you can't put a price on kids, but I can. It cost me 7 years and $150,000. Okay. I was court ordered to take him to a gender therapist sometimes once a week at $145 a session. And after a year and a half of him being in there, still with no diagnosis of gender dysphoria, I decided enough is enough. I retained sole medical authority at the time. I asked that he be discharged. The therapist refused. Imagine that. A therapist refusing the wishes of a parent to see their child. They then wrote to the court. The court determined that I was interfering with essential medical treatment. I lost my sole medical authority. Okay. However, it wasn't until I started speaking out about this that people stopped treating my son. And now my son is a very normal 10-year-old boy. I was labeled a bigot. I was labeled intolerant simply for questioning this. Nobody had ever considered the psychological impact of socially transitioning a child, age 5 at the time. Nobody had ever considered if maybe dad wanted to be a part of this treatment plan. I had no say. So what happened was the court decided. So when I look at Prop 1, I see this for what it is. It is the replacement of parents with state. Okay? Because what Prop 1 does is it gives children with no age minimum the right to consent to any kind of medical treatment that they need. It gives them full bodily autonomy, no age minimum. So what happens is when you have a parent like myself that's at odds with a treatment that a child might be consenting to, they are then, under the newly proposed wording and the ambiguous language of Prop 1, this could, one, be seen as discriminatory, but two, interfering with essential medical treatment. So it's time that we draw that line in the sand and we pick which side we're on. There is no time to be lukewarm here. This is the future of our kids. This is the future of parental rights. And I am not going to stop fighting because my son was the lucky one. I have heard so many stories out there of other parents, especially in New York, that have gone through the same thing and their child wasn't as fortunate. Not everybody has $150,000 in 7 years to spend on this. So I encourage everybody, vote no to Prop 1. The coalition is holding a statewide student walkout on October 24th. We encourage all high schoolers and college students to take part. And if you want to learn more about Prop 1 and what this means for parental rights, I encourage everybody to go to protectkidsny.com. Thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to Senator George Perez.
Thank you, Dennis.
Next up, we're going to hear from my colleague from just south of here, Senator George Borrello.
Thank you. Thank you, Leader. Thank you. I, too, have been traveling the state talking about Prop 1 and the damage that it is going to cause. It is, without a doubt, the most dangerous and most evil piece of legislation ever proposed in New York State, and that's saying something for sure. The problem is not only is this supposed to drive voter turnout for Democrats, it is also a gift to the most radical elements of the Democratic Party. The most fringe groups are encompassed in this broad language. And that's what it's all about. There are no limitations. For example, when it says you cannot discriminate based on someone based on age, that sounds nice, but it also means that a 35-year-old who's dating a 14-year-old is now going to have a constitutional right. You're going to actually legalize pedophilia in New York State under the New York State Constitution. When it says you cannot discriminate against someone based on their national origin, sounds nice. But what it also means is that non-citizens, even people that are here illegally, will have a constitutional right to every right and benefit New York citizens have, including the right to vote. Now, you can say, well, that's not possible because that's what our Democrat colleagues are saying. But it absolutely is possible. And there will be groups that will bring lawsuits to make sure that it happens. And that's what this is about. Lawyer, this is a cornucopia of legal actions that are going to be taking place in order to provide quote-unquote rights to people that they now have a constitutional right to. It is damaging, it is dangerous, and we have to stop this. You have to vote no on Prop 1. Turn that ballot over. Also, you can go to votenoonprop1.org, votenoonprop1.org, and learn more information, the details as to why this is so damaging. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff in my 5 years in Albany, but this takes the cake. We absolutely have to stop this. It will open a Pandora's box of evil things here in New York State. Vote no on Prop 1. Thank you.
Now we'll hear from Assemblyman David DiPietro.
Thanks, Senator. I'm just going to read something. Prop 1 is a dangerous overreach that threatens parental rights, women's safety, and the integrity of our schools. This isn't just about abortion. It's a radical agenda that would allow minors to undergo life-altering procedures without parental consent. This lets men into women's spaces and destroy the fairness of women's sports. This Trojan horse hides behind the banner of equal rights while undermining the values that protect our families and communities. We must reject this amendment to defend our children and uphold our common sense. I have a daughter, senior in high school. She's on the National Honor Society, Spanish National Honor Society also, captain of her soccer team, president of the Spirit Club, vice president of her senior class. When I think watching her grow up, and we would joke about it, but it's not a joke anymore, when she was in middle school or grade school, that someone 30 years old could walk into that school, or someone from the school, a senior, could walk into the bathroom or walk into the shower after one of her practices is disgusting. And I think it's disgusting the people that want this, that actually propose it and think this is a great idea, that we can allow these people to roam into our schools. Just the other day, our school put out a thing on bullying. What a misnomer. What is bullying? I think bullying is putting some sort of mental anguish on a fourth grader when some 17-year-old walks into the shower or walks into the bathroom and sits there and watches them. I wouldn't want it for my daughter. I don't think anybody would want it for any of their children. And I've watched this in Albany year after year. The far left radicalize everything they can to destroy every value that this nation was founded on and still holds dear. And this isn't about changing one law. It's about changing the whole moral compass, because they do not have a moral compass. And I've said that many times. If their moral compass is to allow 17, 18-year-old boys into a fourth grader, or to take gender-affirming care for a second grader and not tell the parents, I don't have an argument. There's just no moral compass, and that's where we're at in this country, especially New York. We lead the way with California. I will be fighting this as hard as I can, and I encourage everybody else to also. We need to put this state back on the right track. Unfortunately, the people that are leading it right now, they don't even know what track they're on. They're leading us right down off the cliff, morally. So I want to thank you for having me.
Thank you, Assemblyman. Now we're going to hear from Erie County Conservative Party Chairman and a lawyer, so he can speak. He'll be able to answer all your legal questions about this. But someone who knows this, someone who's been fighting and educating people on this the whole time, and that is Chairman Ralph Lurigo.
Chairman.
Thank you.
So I have now been an attorney for 50 years, and we do a great deal of litigation in my practice. And I look at the wording of how this proposition is set up. And first of all, you have to look at every word. That's what lawyers do. No person shall be denied the equal protection. And then we do have equal protection for race, color, creed, and religion. Those we have. So we are protected. But now they've added age. So as they've said, you can't discriminate. A young person can make decisions for himself, taking away parental rights. Sex, including sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression. You've heard the possibilities that that creates. I know, as an attorney, what we have here in New York. So you are allowing activist judges to take this language to the extent that certain groups want. And that extent will damage our children, will damage our society, will damage our moral fiber. You can't let this happen. So, again, you need to look at this as an attorney. People need to ask their attorney, how can this statute that seems to be protecting people, how can it be so damaging? And it can. It very well can. And so we need to say no to this. Not only the things that you've heard about, but when it says national origin, another brand new protection, that's going to allow Kathy Hochul to bring in all these illegal immigrants, to house them at our costs, to allow them to vote. That's what's going to be in our Constitution if this passes. It should be denied. Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, our host here, Erie County Republican Chairman Michael Crocker.
Thank you, Leader. Thank you, Senator Borello, Assemblyman DiPietro, Chairman Larigo. I'll be brief, but I want to touch just quickly on the politics that the leader mentioned at the start of this. There is no doubt that the Democrats here in New York put this constitutional amendment on the ballot this year in hopes to boost their political prospects. That is all this was about. They intentionally delayed this amendment being on the ballot until 2024 because they wanted to maximize a political benefit, not score a policy victory. But it's backfiring. The reality is it has motivated voters. It's motivated young women like Olivia to come out and vote no on Prop 1. For parents like Dennis to come out and vote no on Prop 1. For people who believe that the right to vote should be for U.S. citizens, it's motivating them to come out and vote no on Prop 1. It's so critical that people know it's actually here in Erie County will be at the bottom of your ballot, not on the back, but on the bottom of your ballot. You need to make sure you go to the bottom of the ballot and vote no to protect women's sports, to protect parental rights, to protect our right to vote as American citizens. So please, everybody make sure you get out and vote no on Prop 1 this election day. Thank you, Leader, for the opportunity.
Again, I want to thank all of our speakers for being here. Certainly the folks who didn't speak but are here in support. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Again, we'll do Prop 1 questions at this time.
A couple of the speakers mentioned a situation where you said something about a 30-something-year-old person coming into a school. Can you explain what that's about and how this would make that possible?
Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
You said it.
Sure. So when you say something, there's no limitations. You say you cannot discriminate based on age. Okay? It's about the fact that that means you're now creating a situation. In fact, an attorney at one of the events that we hosted on this brought up the possibility. Let's say he said he was 40-something years old. And I say I want to go to school and register for kindergarten. And the school says, we're not going to allow you to register for kindergarten. But you cannot discriminate based on my age. Now that attorney brings a lawsuit against the school. He says, okay, I'm not going to be registered for kindergarten, but you're going to pay me $1 million because you violated my constitutional right. You discriminated against me based on age. That is the kind of thing we're talking about. When you start talking about not discriminating based on age, okay, every county in New York State right now has a case, a pedophile case going on. Passing Prop 1 will hand a huge gift to the public defenders and attorneys by saying you cannot discriminate against the fact that this person is 14 and this person is 35. That is going to be their defense, that this is now they are now violating the constitutional right of that 35-year-old and that 14-year-old, because then they cannot be discriminated against based on age. That is the Pandora's box. This is a gift to perverts and pedophiles. That's what Proposition 1 is.
Amen. Amen. Good job, George.
I just wanted to clarify, the second speaker, Dennis Hannon, you were talking about, just so we understand, the scenario you were talking about with your child. Is how did that all start? Was that because the child's mother wanted that, or?
It was orchestrated by the mother, but it was encouraged by everybody that was in a position to stop it and did nothing. A custodial evaluation was done, a forensic report, and these claims were all fraudulent. But it didn't stop them from trying to progress my son onto medical treatment anyways for gender dysphoria, despite never having received a diagnosis. And he still hasn't to this day.
So she wanted that gender to be changed and you didn't, right? And are you saying the school was in a way they were doing something to
this, her side? The school had socially transitioned him. Nobody had ever reached out to me.
What school was this?
Kenton District.
My question is for Mr. Mello or Mr. Ward or whoever. Similar amendments have been passed in other states, and they don't have any issues when it comes to pedophilia because that is still illegal under the law. So why is the concern that New York would pass an amendment?
It's the simplicity of the language. When I oversimplified the fact that there are no guardrails there. So my understanding is, from legal experts I've spoken to, that in other situations, again, New York has always has to prove that we're the most progressive, okay, that always means removing all the safety stops, and that's what's happened here. It's what happened with bail reform. Oh, New Jersey did bail reform. We have to prove we're more radical, more progressive than they are. This constitutional amendment is the same way. You got to remember, when the Democrats are out there, they live in fear of what they call the advocates, okay? These are the people largely based in New York City that are the most radical fringe political elements. And when they say, we're going to put a proposition in to protect whatever, then there's always some group that's going to say, that's not far enough. You need to be more vague, more broad. So that is the issue here. And again, PolitiFact has verified this, that the language is so broad and so vague, it will go beyond any other similar proposition in other states.
So just to clarify, the concern is that because it's oversimplified, it could lead to a slippery slope in the legal
correct
system,
correct right? Absolutely. You know, and this, and by the way, this happens in California all the time. So in California, they put everything to a proposition vote. They do lots of them. In other words, they have the people vote on these things. My former company that I owned, got caught up in Prop 65 in California. This is where they had a whole host of toxins, as they call them, that if they're ever present at all in any item, that you could bring a lawsuit. So Prop 65 in California turned into a multi-billion-dollar panacea for trial lawyers and for the state of California, who was a willing participant. And my company got caught up in this too. And the result has been people leaving California, companies leaving California because they got caught up in things like that. When you make something so broad, but it sounds nice, like this, if you read the language of the proposition, it sounds really nice. We're going to protect certain people. But when you dive into the legal ramifications, you know, as the chairman said, the devil is literally in the details. It's the broad. It says you cannot discriminate based on age. There's no guardrail as to where that ends. So that's going to be taken advantage of by radical fringe groups and the attorneys that will represent them.
Olivia, what sport do you play, where, and have you ever competed against a transgender athlete?
I go to school at SUNY Erie, or ECC. I'm a bowler. So for a lot of people, it's like, oh, it's just bowling. It's not. I get that a lot. It's not just, I won't get into the specifics, but just because biological men are stronger, they will, that's why it's more dominated by men, the sport of bowling. I have not competed against a transgender woman or a biological man, whatever you want to call it. But actually, 2 weeks ago, we were, as a team, informed that that could happen. So it didn't, thank God, but it could have. And they had to go through all this legal stuff trying to figure out if it was okay or not. I'm not really sure exactly what happened, but it didn't. But I told my coach, and I told him, I said, if this happens, I will no longer bowl here because it's just taking it's not following my moral compass. And yeah, like, my plan is to transfer to another college on a bowling scholarship. That's the goal. But I'll throw that away because I'm not changing my beliefs just because somebody else in my government is allowing that.
Yeah. Amen. Good for you. That's awesome.
Anybody else on Prop 1?
In other states where this is a similar law has passed, has there been an influx of transgender women and girls joining teams? I mean, like our team, girls teams.
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care. Because when I look at the language here, I base what I do, my votes, off of what is happening in New York. I don't generally sit there and delve into what's happening in other states and all this stuff, because who is doing the data on some of this anyways, right? How are you able to actually collate that? It's sort of a... I think it's used sometimes to say, nothing happened. You know, the folks who said after you did bail, it'll have no impact on crime. That was a lie. If you believe the data, now it took 5-6 years to find that out, but that was not true. Now, there will still be people, even in spite of the uptick in crime, that will say that that law had no impact on it. They'll defend it till they go down because that's politics. No one in politics ever says, I was wrong. If it has happened, it's never happened in my lifetime. And no one's going to say it here. But this language, and someone said something, and I don't want to, I'm not going to disparage lawyers because we have one here who I have a high respect for. But it is lawyers that will, the language by itself means maybe nothing, but it will be lawyers who will argue cases using this language that will result in some of the things possibly that we are talking about. And I don't know where or how bad it'll be in all the different areas, but I do know this. There's no question the men competing in women's sports is happening. This is not something that we're like, it could happen. It's happening now. Leah Thomas is an Olympic gold medalist in the women's freestyle, women's swimming. It's ridiculous. She should not be. He should not be. I'm sorry. He should not be. There's women's volleyball teams that are forfeiting games across the country because San Jose State has a man who's able to spike the ball at the other women's faces. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? This is not – I'm not making this up. This is real. It's already happening without this proposition. If you don't think it's going to be legally sanctioned with the proposition, getting something in the New York State Constitution is very difficult. Getting something out is next to impossible.
So to just – go on to the other part of the bill about age discrimination.
Sure.
What about, you know, I see what you guys are talking about, but there's also older people who have lost their jobs that do, you know, if they don't have protection, what is, you know, what is their recourse?
Well, they already have it. See, this is the problem. All of these, almost all these things are already enshrined in state law. They go through the Senate, the Assembly. In fact, most of them have been in state law since before Rob Bork got to the Senate over 10 years ago now. So the notion that somehow, if we don't do this, someone can be fired simply because they're over the age of 50, that's not true. They would already have legal recourse and legal protection under the law to do that. Again, we're talking about putting something in the state constitution. Right, so it's another level of protection, and that's what some of my colleagues will say. Well, we're giving it a little extra protection in these things, but what's not in the law currently is the stuff about gender, is the stuff about, you know, gender identity, gender expression. That is new. That is not in any law. And so there, to me, is the part that stands out, because that is not currently there. And the question is, why not? And the question of why not is because this newfound gender dysphoria, it is exactly that. It's become sort of a new fad, in my view. I don't think there's more people that have it today than had it 30 years ago. I think now people are being encouraged. I think in some people's minds, it's almost to be encouraged. As you heard from Dennis, there were people at the school and the mother who were encouraging it at the grade of kindergarten. I'm sorry, folks. You might think I'm wrong. If my constituents think I'm wrong, send me packing. But I don't need to be a state senator so badly, that I need to pretend that that's okay. It is not okay. It wouldn't be okay with my nephews. It's not okay for your kid, for your grandkid, period. That is not okay. And if we're going to give that kind of thing some kind of legal protection, I think that is absolutely wrong and should be rejected by the people of New York. And I will go out saying, I think majority of New Yorkers would agree with me on that one.